The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, Howard. Very good, thank you. How are you doing today?
Yes, excellent, thank you. Polish government has cancelled a visit by an Israeli government delegation to Poland to discuss the matter of restitution of Holocaust-era property. Why is this visit being cancelled?
Well, according to what the Polish government is saying, I mean, this is a visit that was arranged some time ago. And theoretically, as far as we understand, the visit was clearly labeled as being one that was surrounding the restitution of property. Sorry about the noise that's going on behind the scenes here. This is always the case, isn't it? It's like, that's how
silent until,
works.
Exactly, silent until you get onto the air.
Exactly. So this was a visit that was apparently, according to the Israeli government, always going to be about discussing restitution of Holocaust-era property. According to what the Polish government is saying, the delegation, the makeup of the delegation was changed at the last minute. And the change of this makeup of the delegation was an indication that the discussions were now going to be centered on restitution of property. So I'm not quite sure what the Polish government thought the meetings were originally scheduled to be about. That's not exactly clear to me. But as far as the Israeli government are concerned, this was always going to be about restitution of property. And it's clear that the Polish government don't really want to talk about this. This is one of the things that's very, very sensitive to them, as we've seen through other legislation about Holocaust-era issues, and has become even more sensitive to the Polish government since the U.S. Congress passed the so-called JUST Act back in 2017 that requires the State Department to report to Congress on progress of European governments in providing restitution and compensation to Holocaust survivors who lost property during that war. Now, the Polish government still hold the position that the Holocaust was the fault of the Germans, and the Polish have absolutely no responsibility at all, including no responsibility for property that was nationalized by the Polish government after the Holocaust period. And you know, the Poles are still claiming that this is really not about them. And as far as I understand, Poland is now the only country in Europe that still does not have restitution requirements or restitution laws in place in order to compensate people who lost property during World War II. So this is a very, very controversial issue. And, of course, Poland is due to go to elections soon, and the right-wing government in Poland is taking a very, very hard position about Holocaust-related issues, including the issue of restitution of property, including the issue of even recognizing Polish liability of any type for actions that were taken during the period of the Holocaust. And they are concerned that the general feeling on the street in Poland, in Warsaw and in other cities around Poland, is that this issue is really not the responsibility of the Polish government. And I think that the Polish government are sensing that if they don't take a hardline approach on this, that they might well lose the election. They're certainly going to lose support from the Polish street, and they might even lose the upcoming election. It's not only a general election in Poland, but there are also European Union elections coming up later this month. And so this is clearly a very, very sensitive issue, and it seems as if though the Polish government have decided just to make a statement for consumption by local Polish the people who will participate in the elections, the streets of Poland, make a statement to them that the Polish government is not bending on the issue of Holocaust-era issues, including, as I've said before, the matter of restitution of property, and including the issue of taking any responsibility at all for anything that happened in Poland during that time. And, of course, one of the biggest areas of controversy is what would happen if they did implement some sort of a restitution program. What would happen to those properties which have now no heirs to them? In other words, the people who originally owned them were killed or died off after a period of time and have left no heirs. And so, you know, what goes on, what happens to that particular property? And we know, for example, it was a big controversial issue in Switzerland where there was so much money in Swiss bank accounts left without trace, and what happened to that money when there was no family member to actually make a claim for that money. So this is certainly a big issue. And of course, the focus of the US government on this doesn't make it any easier for the Polish government. But be that as it may, you know, what's happened now this week is that the Poles have decided that this Israeli delegation that was due to come and talk about the restitution will not be coming anymore. They've cancelled the visit. And that really does place the diplomatic relations between Israel and Poland in a very difficult place. Again, not for the first time. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this one pans out in terms of overall diplomatic relations between Israel and Poland.
It's absolutely incredible how resistant Poland is to taking any form of responsibility. It's until now I just thought it's about maybe perhaps their own guilt, but it does seem to be about the fact that you add a little bit of politics to it, and the fact that they feel a little nervous about their constituents that seems to be coming from there as well.
That's true. And I think the issue of the restitution also is about taking responsibility. So the moment any laws might be passed that would allow for restitution. And by the way, the restitution is not only about Jewish property, it's about non-Jewish property too. Let's be clear that that there was a significant amount of non-Jewish property that was nationalized by the Polish government after the end of the war, the communist government that took over running Poland at that time. So this is not only about Jewish property, but they seem very, very unwilling to take any responsibility whatsoever. And I have to say there is a train of thought amongst Israelis and amongst Jews in general that, you know, there might be a moment when we kind of got to leave this alone and just move forward rather than continue to look backwards. And that train of thought is really guided quite significantly by the issue of Jewish property that was left behind in Middle Eastern countries, where there's been no restitution at all and no acknowledgement at all of any responsibility. And yet there don't seem to be very strong claims against those governments in the same way as those claims have been made against European countries. And so the question is, is it not just better for us to forget this issue, this particular issue, without clearly forgetting what happened, but just forget this property issue and just kind of move forward? There is certainly a school of thought that supports that.
I'd love your thoughts on that. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Is it time to let that go? Focus on the memory of the Holocaust, memory of the people, and give up change lanes in terms of this issue. Qatari officials arrived yesterday in Gaza to distribute Qatari money that had been donated to Gaza. How is the money actually distributed?
So this is quite a fascinating one, because we know that Qatar has obviously donated significant amounts of money to Gaza over an extended period of time. And this $30 million was allowed into the Gaza Strip yesterday, coordination with Israel and with Egypt and with the authorities in Gaza, and of course the Qataris. A special Qatari envoy crossed over the Erez crossing into Gaza yesterday together with a team of people. And the idea behind this particular tranche of money that's going into Gaza is that this is all about payouts that are helping families in need, rather than giving it to Hamas officials, to the authorities, in order for them to do with it as they please. And the way that it's being done, I'm led to understand, is that $100 amounts are being issued to families in need, and the money is actually being distributed via post offices and via kind of individual face-to-face meetings with Qatari officials involved, with each of these impoverished families who have been particularly affected by the humanitarian crisis qualifying for the money. And so they each would turn up at wherever the location is, either a post office or another location, and they physically get $100 or the equivalent of $100 in their hands in order to go and spend to help their cause. And so this is really how the money is being distributed. And one can see why Israel would support this idea rather than try to prevent it, because, you know, this is real evidence of the money going to the hands of the people who really need it, rather than for the senior officials to get their hands on the money or for the money to be used to bolster the attack force that Gaza continues to have against Israel. And in conjunction with this, in parallel to all of this happening, the UN Special Envoy to the Middle East, Nikolai Maladinov, as actually was in Gaza yesterday as well. And interestingly, he was unveiling a solar power plant for a Gaza hospital, which I think is a very good thing, because we know that the electricity grid in Gaza has practically collapsed and there's very, very little electricity going on in Gaza. And so the hospital at least has the solar power plant, which I understand was built through donated money. I'm not quite sure exactly what the source of the money was. But Maladinov was in Gaza yesterday, and he's warning that a war, as far as he is concerned, remains quite imminent, even though the ceasefire has now been in place for a week or so, a little bit longer. And he's still very, very concerned that a war could break out at any moment in time. But in the meantime, at least we know that those very, very poor families in Gaza are enjoying the benefits of the Qatari money. And there is at least some construction going on in the form of this solar power plant that's been constructed for the hospital in Gaza. So, you know, some positive things happening. And yet, you know, the threat remains as strong as it ever was. And Maladinov was there just to reinforce that point of view. He's been quite critical of the actions by Islamic Jihad and Hamas and others in Gaza. But he's trying as much as he can in his position as the UN Special Envoy to maintain an open line of communication with all of them, including, of course, the Israeli authorities, in order just to make sure that he can continue to do his job as effectively as he can.
Absolutely. Finally, the standoff between the US and Iran continues to intensify. We've been following the story very closely. What is the latest?
Yeah, so many things happening. You know, we had these Saudi oil tankers that were destroyed, which it seems quite clear now was an act of aggression by Iran. We know that Saudi Arabia and the United States are cooperating with each other. And the U.S. has said that if any attacks take place against U.S. assets or against assets which belong to friends of the United States, that the U.S. will take action. And so the U.S. has decided that this has been an action against a friend. We know that in the United States, discussions have been ongoing to bolster what the U.S. has already done in the Persian Gulf area, which is that they've sent these B-52 bombers, which are now stationed in that Middle Eastern area. And they've also sent this aircraft carrier, the USS Roosevelt, to the area to be on standby, to be ready for anything that might happen. The latest discussions in the U.S. involve the possibility of sending 120,000 U.S. troops to the area. So this is just another action which supports the possibility of open conflict arising between Iran and the United States. And the United States continues to say not only that aggression of this nature by Iran will precipitate a U.S. response, but the U.S. is also stating quite openly that any increase in the Iranian nuclear program could also potentially precipitate U.S. action being taken against Iran. Now, this is really the first moment that we're sensing that the U.S. is prepared to stand behind Israel's threat of taking action against Iran in the event that they bolster their nuclear program. So there is certainly a feeling in Israel right now that this is very much supportive of the Israeli position against the Iranian nuclear program, and that if anything should happen which takes the Iranian nuclear program to that next level, which presents a more of a threat to Israel than it already does, that Israel may well have the support of U.S. forces in taking some military action against Iran. So I think that certainly things are escalating dramatically. And in line with that, of course, we've got the standoff between Iran and Europe and what the Europeans are going to do with the challenge that has been laid down by the Iranians on the issue of the nuclear agreement that's still in place between the European countries and Iran. So overall, I think the situation clearly is heating up, and we're going to obviously continue to watch that very carefully.
Most definitely we will. Anthony Reich, it's just gone 8 o'clock. This is where we love and leave you. We'll speak to you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. Thank you. As always, here's Zanati with your news.